wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. I know what Jesus did for me. I have seen the lowest sin sick soul have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. And I have found the chains of sin and set my spirit free, for I know what Jesus did for me. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. I believe I know what Jesus did for me, but the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Thank you, Ms. Christie, and boy, I hope you don't ever forget what Jesus has done for you. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I got a dose, okay? I got a dose of salvation, and you say, yeah, but you are rotten to the core. Well, probably is just like y'all, right? We're all rotten to the core, and I'm telling you, I don't know, some of these folks that say they got salvation and aren't happy about it and aren't doing anything, I don't know. You know, but I got a dose of it, my friend, when I got saved. And, well, thank you for being patient. This evening I was down at the in our Spanish ministry for just a few moments. Tonight they are celebrating their Workers' Appreciation Night. And I went down and said a few words to those in our Spanish ministry. And then they gave me this gigantic Bible. Now, it's not a family Bible. What it is a King James original 1611 text Bible is what they gave me. And just as a gift on Workers' Appreciation, and I just want to say a word of thanks to them and for their generosity and what our folks down in the Spanish ministry do as well in the overall ministry. You know, folks, let me tell you something, it's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. When we get in God's way, that's when the work ceases. That's when the work begins to come to a halt. Listen, the biggest problem God has about reaching people and starting churches and evangelizing the world, the biggest problem is not the unsaved world. The biggest problem is us. Being willing to be able to go, being willing to go tell, be willing to be used of God. We are God's biggest hindrance, and we are in the family of God. And it's just a great, great opportunity to serve God. And again, church, happy anniversary, 39 years here at Trinity Baptist Church. And I want to kind of divert a little bit from our Sunday evening preaching about ministering to the multitudes and talk to you a little bit about some things about our church. And so I've chosen for our text tonight, Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3. All right, let's stand together. I started to say when you find your place in Ezra 3, stand. But if we do that, we'll be here a few minutes. Ezra chapter number 3. Let me give you just some quick background as we begin reading in verse number 10 in just a moment. It has been quite a few years since the people of God had a place to worship called their own temple. As you know, Solomon's temple was destroyed. All the items were taken out by heathens. But it's just, you know what got things in the situation that they were in is the rebellion of the people of God. Anytime they went into captivity, it's because they would not obey God. And so it's been quite some time now since they've had a place to worship. And now things have come together. The announcement has been made. The temple is about to be rebuilt. The foundation is about to be laid. And I want to pick up tonight, if I could, in Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 10. And I want to show you the response of the people about the excitement of the temple being rebuilt. Now, to us, that would be the excitement of your church. Now, I want you to notice in verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, for that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now, I don't know if this strikes you like it strikes me, but it seemed like these people were somewhat happy and supportive of their church. It seemed like they were glad to be a part of it. It seemed that they were excited about the potential at this particular point of just the foundation of the house of God being laid. They shout, they sing, they praised God, because He is good and His mercy endureth forever. And I want to take these passages of Scripture, church, and just kind of reminisce a little bit about Trinity Baptist Church for just a few moments tonight, and then give you a challenge. And I want to preach to you about tonight on the subject, the foundation is sure. The foundation is sure. The Lord, we're grateful to be alive. Thank You for the privilege of being able to have a church like Trinity Baptist Church to attend. A place to worship. A place, Lord, that we can come and feel secure that, Lord, when we come, that You're going to do something in our heart and our life. Lord God, what a great testimony it was this morning to have visitors in our visitors' reception that said they felt the presence of God this morning. What a great, great testimony that is about the people of God that attend this church and about the spirit that's created here at Trinity Baptist Church. Now, Lord God, would you show yourself great tonight? And we'll give you the glory and the praise for what you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Some time ago, I heard a story relayed about an old carpenter who had served his boss, who was a contractor, had served him for 53 years in the building industry. The old man had gotten a little bit tired and couldn't do some of the things that he used to do, and his work had kind of declined a little bit. He just came to the conclusion, I think I'm going to retire. I can't do what I used to do. And so he went to his boss and he said, Boss, I think it's time for me to retire. Well, the boss was kind of discouraged to hear the news because the man had been with him 53 years in the building industry and built a lot of beautiful, beautiful custom homes. So the boss looked at the old man and he said, Wonderful, I understand you've got to make the choices that you've got to make, but I've got one request of you. And the old carpenter said, That's fine, what is that one request? He said, I'd like for you to build me one more house. I'd like for you to go and just build one more house for me. Well, reluctantly, the old man thought, well, I really would like to retire, but he said, okay, I'll build one more house. So he got the materials together, and as he began to build the house and put the foundation down, frame the walls, he decided, you know what, I don't think I'm going to invest as much in this house. So he began to use shabby material. The workmanship, he began to hire shabby subcontractors, and really the house wasn't built real well and insulated real well and just probably wasn't in very good shape, but his heart wasn't in it. He just decided, you know what, my effort and building is just, my heart's not there anymore, and so it showed in his work. Well, the day came when the old carpenter had finished building the house, and he contacted the owner, and the owner said, well, can you meet me at the house? The boss met the old man there, and he said, there you go. There's my last house that I built for you. The boss went and looked around, and he could tell that he didn't use the best material. He could tell that it was kind of shabbily done and not done with much heart and much effort. He got back to the front door, and he said, I appreciate you granting my last request, and one request before you retire. His boss reached in his pocket, and as he reached in his pocket, he pulled out a key on a ring. And he reached over there and he says, Mr. Carpenter, thank you for granting that one request. He said, I had you build this house as a gift from me to you. And he reached out and he dropped the keys to the house in the hand of that old carpenter. That old carpenter looked at that key and tears began to run down his face. You know why? Because he knew he had invested in that last project, in that last building project that was giving him the opportunity to build. And tears ran down his face because he knew he had not invested as much in that last project, in that last house, as he had done in many times in his life in building many houses. And may I say the moral to that story is, folks, that old carpenter had to live in the house that he built. He had to live in the house that he built. Now, I want you to notice some things about that old carpenter in that story. First of all, the old carpenter was tired, and he just didn't have the old zeal anymore. Now, I'm just going to make some applications. Is that all right with y'all tonight? Can I say something to you? I notice about some of the membership of Trinity Baptist Church, some of you tired. Some of you not putting forth the effort that you used to put forth years ago. And you're tired. Say, preacher, I'm exhausted. I understand, but let me tell you something. What's waiting for you on the other side is worth your every bit of energy that you can give the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you have breath, you ought to give to Him your best. I understand you may not have the zeal that you used to. I understand that you may be exhausted and tired. But let me say something. When you see the face of Jesus Christ, it's going to be worth the fatigue. It's going to be worth the extra investment that you put in the house of God. May I say to you, number two, his heart was no longer in building, but set on retiring. His heart was no longer in the building, it was set on retiring. And may I say to you, folks, that you know what? It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? And you see, this old man wasn't, his investment was no longer in the house that he was building, not knowing he was building his own house. He got distracted. And that distraction, he lost his zeal and wasn't putting forth his best effort for the Lord. His heart was no longer in the building, but set on retiring. May I say to you that many, many people in this church have ministries. And one of the things that we've got to guard against, servants and those of you that are serving in ministry, is losing a heart for the things of God. Losing a heart for the ministry in which God has put you in. Whether you're in the bus ministry, whether you're in the Sunday school ministry, the juvenile ministry, the rest home ministry, the jail ministry, the visiting ministry, the hospital ministry, or whatever ministry you're in, you must battle and fight not to lose heart in the ministry. The old man had lost heart in building. His heart was set on retiring. He was looking at other things. May I say to you, number three, he agreed to build one more home, but he agreed to do it reluctantly. He agreed to do it reluctantly. He really didn't want to work anymore. Now, folks, can I just say something to you tonight? You say, preacher, when are we supposed to stop serving God? When you don't breathe anymore. And when you don't breathe anymore, you can't serve God anymore in this life. You say, but what if I get old and feeble? What ministry can I have then? How about the prayer ministry? How about praying for the ministries of the church or the pastor or the staff or all the things that are going on in the church? You see, this old carpenter, he agreed to build one more house, but he did it reluctantly. He didn't really want to work. May I say to you, number four, the last home that he built was done carelessly and without the best material. Those of you that are serving, may I ask you, are you doing your best, really? Are you honestly putting, is your heart into what you're doing? If not, may I say to you, step back, reevaluate, and get your heart in line with God. May I remind you, people are dying and going to hell still. They're still dying and going to hell. And may I say to you, wouldn't it be terrible that the last work that we did on earth, we did carelessly and we did reluctantly and had to face God with that last account of what we did on this earth? May I say to you, number five, that he made excuses about why he built the house the way he did. Well, aren't we full of excuses sometimes? Well, but you know it's because of this. And preacher, you got to know it's because of that. May I say to you that there's some things that God does understand, but there's some things God does not understand. One of the things he does not understand is why we don't love him like we ought to. Another thing he doesn't understand is why we don't serve him like we ought to serve him. The scripture says, you know what, serving God, it's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service. And may I remind you, church, just like the old carpenter had to live in the house that he built, may I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church members, tonight, we will attend the church that we build. We build the attitude, we build the spirit, we build the whole ramifications of what this church is about. So when people come, and just like this morning, that dear lady said, listen, Pastor, I just want to let you know, I felt the presence of God this morning in the service. I saw people saved. I saw people baptized. Let me tell you, you know why? Because there's been a lot of people over 39 years that's made an investment in this church. You see, this church, we enjoy this church because there were a lot of others that invested in this church. And we are going to attend and be a part of the church that we collectively build and what we do here. Now, let me remind you that in Ezra's day, the house of God was being rebuilt, led by God's general contractor. His name was it's a very common name today. It's Zerubbabel. A lot of children running around today with that name. As the foundation was being laid, there was shouting, singing, praising God, because their place of worship was about to be erected. It was about to be restored and rebuilt. Many years had passed by since they had had a place of worship. But did you notice in the responses that most everyone shouted and praised God except the ancient men? The ancient men who had seen the glory of Solomon's temple, though they may have shouted at one moment, the ancient men wept at the sight. Did you notice the terminology in Scripture of this house? They wept at the sight of this house. Now keep in mind, we're just talking about the foundation. They had no idea necessarily what the design was going to be. But I just wonder if they were weeping with tears of joy over the rebuilding of the temple. Or if they were tears of relief that finally God has answered our prayer. Or maybe, could some of them have been weeping with tears of disappointment? Because it's just not like it used to be, preacher. Just not like it used to be. Well, may I say to you that, you know what? You're going to find out in life there's a lot of things that ain't like they used to be. You see this right here? That used to be brown. It ain't like it used to be. It's gray now. And may I say to you that there's a lot of things in life, and there's a lot of things that you're going to face in life that, you know what, that ain't like they used to be. My dad's fixing to celebrate his 76th birthday. And if I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 100 times. Son, just ain't like it used to be. And you know what I say? You're right, Dad. It's not like it used to be. It's not. And may I say to you that could it be that some of these ancient men were looking back, whatever their tears meant, they wept so loud that you could not discern, the Scripture says, between the shouting and the weeping. Regardless of what the purpose of their tears were, let me remind you, church, that they were excited about their temple and about their church. I just wonder if the older crowd that had seen the glory days of Solomon's temple were weeping. Maybe there might have been a few that might have been weeping in comparison with what was about to be built. Now, church, let me say this. Trinity Baptist Church has gone through some changes over the years. But I will say this, and the reason I can say this is because I've been a member here working on 27 years. And the reason I can say this is because I've been here 27 of the 39 years the church has been in existence. And Trinity Baptist Church, though it's gone through some changes over the years, listen to me, the foundational truths and principles from Scripture are still in existence. They're still here. I remember walking this aisle right here 20-some-odd years ago, December the 2nd, 1984. It'll be 27 years this December. As I mentioned this morning, I remember as I was sitting on the pew back here, probably where Brother and Mrs. Sanders or Brother and Mrs. Villa, it was right in that area right there. And I remember the invitation kept going and kept going and kept going. I thought, man, this thing's going to end. But I remember a little voice that told me, it's now or never. And I had no more thought and that had gone through my mind than a woman sitting behind me tapped me on the shoulder. Some of you that have been members of this church a long time will remember this dear lady. Her name was Joanne Wells. She tapped me on the shoulder and she looked at me, and I can remember as though she was saying it to my face right now. She said, I'll watch the baby if you want to go forward. She never asked me if I wanted to go forward. She just told me and assumed. Obviously, she had seen some conviction. And so I didn't say anything. It's just like that was the urge. That was the push that I needed from God. And he just literally, I felt like he just pushed me out in the aisle. And man, I tell you one thing. I got out in the aisle and I stood and I looked at that altar worker that was down here, and it looked like a quarter of a mile down here. Have you ever done something in life and it just seems like you're just moving in slow? It's like this is the way I was walking down the aisle. It's like everything was going in slow motion. Even it sounded like the music had slowed down. But I'll tell you one thing. By the time I got here, it felt like when I was walking down the carpet, like I was on one of those conveyor belts. You know, I was trying to get down here. But by the time I made it down here, the altar worker said, "What'd you come for?" I said, "I need to be saved. Need to be saved." Got saved. He told me, said, "Well, you know, Mr. Lasseter," said, "we've been praying for you, and I know what kind of background you're raised in." And he says, "You know, the next thing the Bible says you need to do is get baptized." I said, "Let's do it. Hey, I've come this far. I might as well just go the whole way, right? If I've already made it down the aisle to be saved, let's just get baptized too." Man, they didn't hardly let me get out of the Baptist. And they told me, said, "Look, now, we've got a meeting on Thursday night. We go soul winning." I know what soul winning was. They said, "We've got a meeting on that night, and you and your wife need to be there." Well, they just, you know, I thought, well, golly, I guess I'll just go the whole way. And listen, folks, listen, I got saved. I was just so naive. I just thought you were supposed to do what the man of God told you to do. Because I just figured, you know what, he's told me everything right so far. I figured he's not going to lead me astray then. So you know what I did? I showed up at the soul winning meeting. You say, "How much do you know about winning souls?" I didn't even know what that meant. I thought that was a new cartoon or something. Soul winning. I didn't know what that was. But folks, that was 27 years ago nearly. And as I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, I'm here to tell you the foundation is sure. It still exists. This church was built on a foundation, and I want to share some things with you, first of all, tonight, that this church was built on and the foundation that it was built on. May I say, first of all, that Trinity Baptist Church is still a fundamental, independent Baptist church. I said it's still a fundamental, independent Baptist church. Matter of fact, when I drove in tonight, I rode real slow past the sign just so I could see it. Trinity Baptist Church. That is what we are. That's what the foundation of this church was built on. You understand that if we decided to do anything else, or I just stood up and said, "I don't think I want to be an independent fundamental Baptist," you know what? I might as well go over all the people that have invested in this church for 39 years and just go spit in their face. Of all the money they've invested in this church. All the sacrifice they've invested in this church. You know, a lot of those folks now are out here in Moore Memorial Gardens. A lot of them invested years and years ago in Trinity Baptist Church. They proclaimed it to be a fundamental, independent Baptist church. May I say to you tonight, church, there are no plans to change our philosophy. We are what we are. I tell people all the time, they say, "Well, do you have a website?" I said, "Fine, go on there. It tells you everything about what we are." Hey, we're not trying to hide anything. It is what it is. And so Trinity Baptist Church, it is what we are, what we are. Why? Because it's been built that way. It's been invested that way. We attend a church in the house that we built and those that before us built. No plans to change our philosophy. No plans to change our affiliations. I said no plans to change our affiliations. I'm not going to be hanging out with the other ministerial association in Arlington. Now some people are going to ask, "Well, preacher, you just need to get more personal." Well, I found somewhere in the scripture, maybe you can tell me where it is, that how can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know what? I've got a lot of other things that I could be doing beside downtown eating lunch with the ministerial association. A lot of other things. So there are no plans to change our affiliation. You know who we're going to affiliate with? Fundamental Independent Baptists. So we're going to affiliate with. Why? Because they're of like mind, one heart, like direction. You know what that would be like, folks, after 39 years of Trinity Baptist in the city? That would be like that 53 years of doing carpentership, that would like him come at 53 years and say, you know what, I think I'm going to turn out to be a mechanic. He's invested 53 years of his life in carpentry work, and now he decides he's going to be a mechanic. Kind of late in the game, isn't it? You see, I'm here to tell you, church, no plans to change philosophy, no plans to change affiliation, no plans to change directions. There you go. Trinity Baptist is still a fundamental, independent Baptist church. Do you know that's what it was the night I walked this aisle? And may I say to you, tonight, almost 27 years later, that's what it still is. That's what we are. That's what God has designed this church to be. We have not changed the position of this church in the 27 years that I've been here. You know what? This church is still basically doing the exact same things, except with a different crowd of people than it was almost 27 years when I came here for the first time. It's basically same preaching. Basically same direction. Basically same. And it's almost basically exactly the same with everything, just about. Just different crowd. Now, I'm just saying that's what we are, folks. Okay? That's what we are. May I say to you, number two, Trinity Baptist Church is still a soul-winning church. It's still a soul-winning church. May I say that if it had not been for soul winners to knock on my door the initial time, I may not even be here tonight. One of the men that knocked on my door that night is with the Lord now. But I remember that first night they knocked on my door and they began to witness to me, and I told them, I said, no, I'm Pentecostal, I was raised, and I, you know how we give them the old spiel, just to kind of try to get them to fly off somewhere, get them going. And they said, okay, sir, well, here, would you read this? So I think I just took a track and I shut the door. You know something? The next Thursday night, same two guys. Like, all right, open the door. Hey, Mr. Laster, did you read that track that we gave you? I thought, well, no, not really. I said, oh, man, I'll tell you how to go to heaven. I'll tell you how to be born again. And they went into the same spiel. So I let them do their little spiel, you know. And after it's over, I said, okay, well, no, thank you. Close the door. The next Thursday night, they came back again. Except this time when I went to the door and I looked through the people, I thought, what's up with these guys? What is their problem? I've already told them, no! What is it about N-O they don't understand? Except this time, you know, isn't it amazing? TV's going. People talking in the house. They knock on the door, you don't answer it like nobody's not home. So I didn't go to the door that night. But may I say to you, church, that they stayed after me for some reason. Why would they keep coming back tomorrow? I told them no. But they kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. You see, Trinity Baptist Church is still a soul-winning church. I'm looking around this auditorium, and I don't have time tonight, but I see so many families and couples that I remember the first time that either I knocked on your door or visited you from the church. You say, oh, preacher, please don't tell my story. Okay, I won't. But you know what? You probably look like I did. Yeah, you probably look like I did. You hadn't grown in grace and knowledge yet. You probably didn't look like much of a Christian, just like I wasn't a Christian at the time. But may I say to you that soul winning does make a difference. See, we believe that soul winning is just as relevant today as it was the day Jesus gave the commission to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's just as relevant. The only thing stopping us from starting more soul winning ministries is people to fill those soul winning ministries. That's the only reason that we're not starting more and more and more. You may say, preacher, yes, our soul winning numbers are down. Yes, our soul winning attendance is down. But may I say, we will not stop being a soul winning church just because the numbers are down and just because the attendance is down. And may I remind you that people are still dying and going to hell. They are. Every moment, every minute that goes by, people, souls, off into eternity. May I say, as the scripture says, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Can I say to you that Trinity Baptist Church, it's a soul-winning church. It's a soul-winning church. He said, but I haven't been going. Well, just because you haven't been going doesn't mean it's not a soul-winning church. Come back, re-enlist, get back in. May I say to you, number three, Trinity Baptist Church is still a ministry-oriented church. It's still a ministry-oriented church. You ever notice how many ministries we've got? Sunday school ministry, bus ministry, Spanish ministry, jail ministry, juvenile ministry, hospital ministry, teen ministry, college ministry, Christian school ministry, and on and on. And I left a bunch of them out. Lots of ministries. Why? Ministry-oriented. That's what we are. Folks, I don't want to be a part of something where I just sit and do nothing. I can do that at home. I want to be a part of something that's exciting, that's alive, that has an opportunity for me to serve God. There's places all over this church for you to put a place for you to serve God somewhere. Find out what that place is. Say, preacher, can I call and find out if there's a place of ministry for me? Yes, you sure can. We're ministry oriented. You know the sad thing? I got a call yesterday from Brother Bo Cabrera, heads up our juvenile ministry to the Dallas Detention, over at the Dallas Detention Center. He called me up. I like old Brother Bo, he's got that rough voice. He said, hey, preacher, got some bad news. I said, what's the bad news, Brother Cabrera? Like, I love bad news. He said, we got over at that meeting, and they said we can't preach on hell no more. I said, oh, man. He said, then they told us, preacher, that we can't be pointing out these kids are sinners. Gets them upset. So I thought, okay, well, I said, well then, Brother Bo, what are we going to preach? You see, what they're trying to do now is they're trying to take all the entities of the gospel out. And basically what they told them is, listen, you know, we're trying to get these kids saved. We're trying to get them in a relationship with God. We're trying to do this. If you take hell out and sin out and this and that, how are we supposed to tell them how to be saved? And basically, the coordinator told them, if you can't abide by these rules, you can leave now. We've been in this ministry for years, years. You say, are we leaving? No, we're not leaving. So what are we going to do Tuesday? Do the same thing we've always done. We're going to go over, do our best, try to get people saved. Now, you say, how are we going to do it? I don't know. That's Brother Bo's problem. I can hear him Tuesday night coming back. Well, preacher, they kicked us out. May I say to you, number four, Trinity Baptist Church is still a compassionate church. Do you know some of the most compassionate people that I have ever met in my life? You know where I met them? Here at this church. That attend this church. Perfect illustration this morning. We were sitting in prayer meeting back this morning at 9 o'clock, and one of our newest members, Mrs. Deborah Walker, she stepped in and she didn't realize it was a prayer meeting. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, you can come on in. We're going to pray together. She said, okay. She came in, prayed, and I said, Ms. Walker, do you have a prayer request? And there were other people in that room, and she began to ask us to pray for her husband. She began to tell us the story of her husband and the complications and difficulties he has. He's not saved. She began to weep and cry. About that time, over sitting to my left was Lori Morris. Mrs. Morris got up from where she was, walked across the room and sat down and put her arm around this dear lady. loved on her, just embraced her. You know what that's called? It's called compassion. And may I say to you, I don't care what anybody says, Trinity Baptist Church is still a compassionate church. Why? Because I've been going to church with most everybody here for quite some time. I see how you operate. You know, most people don't see how you operate. I see how you operate. I see your compassion. We have some of the most compassionate people that I know. We have people that will literally just about do anything to help people in need. Matter of fact, sometimes I have to tell folks, you have to hold folks back because they want to give away everything. They want to do everything for everybody. And you know what? That's not wrong. It's called compassion. You see, some may attempt to discredit our true identity as a compassionate church. Amen. Some will try to discredit that we do not have compassion. Well, let me tell you something. I sat here this morning and looked along the altars down here, saw one saved right there, saw some saved over there. Hey, listen, I stood out here this afternoon as I saw bus after bus after bus come in with over 325 kids over there. Don't tell me we don't have compassion. Trinity Baptist Church is still a compassionate church. It's still a soul-winning church. It still is a ministry-oriented church. And I don't care what somebody's trying to do or who somebody's trying to do. Listen, they may try to verbally, electronically, personally, or whatever else try to discredit our compassion. I'm here to tell you, it's still a compassionate church. And if you're watching on here, I'm telling you, it's a compassionate church. Hey, they may refer to our church as your church, his church, or that church. Whatever they choose to. But you know what? I know the heart of this church. And I know what it stands for. And I'm here to tell you, the foundation is sure. It's sure. Hey, folks, I've been a member here 27 years. And can I say to you, we're still the same. There's a bunch that's changed. I said there's a bunch that's changed. We're still the same church. Still the same. Well, number five, and that is this. Trinity Baptist Church is still a respected church. Do you know I get phone calls all the time? Missionaries? Constantly. Every week. You know why? Because Trinity Baptist Church is respected around the country as a missions-minded church. So people call, wanting to try to get in. Listen, the thing about it is, I didn't realize how difficult it was for Dr. Smith when the missionaries called to have to say no, because you know what? I want to support all of them. But you can't. You can't. There's just not, the funds and stuff are not there. Now maybe they will be one day, and we can support everybody. But you know what? Right now, it's not. So they call, but we're respected for our mission's emphasis. May I say too, Trinity Baptist Church is not only respected for missions, it's respected for producing servants. Yeah. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. I got a call several weeks ago. And it was a friend of mine I'd gone to school with that pastored. It was pastor. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I have accepted the call of a church in another state." He said, "I just wonder if there might be someone there at the church that might be interested in coming and candidating for the church." He had no more got that out of his mouth, and a name came across my mind. So I said, "Well, let me get back with you." And I made a few phone calls and got back on the phone and called the pastor up, and I said, "I got a name for you." And I said, I believe this is of God. I prayed about this, believe this is of God. He said, "Who would that be?" I said, "It's John Hinton." Brother Hinton goes down there. He preaches. Two Sunday nights ago, I saw him slip out. I said, "Pastor," I said, they're going to call at 8:30. "Can we slip out if you keep going?" I said, "Oh, I'm not going to preach past 8:30. So I saw him slip out. I saw him slip out back here. Came back. Big guy, I saw him walk back in. Big old smile on his face. They voted 100%. I thought, glory to God. You know why? Because Trinity Baptist Church is respected for producing servants. And it's respected for its missions program. It's respected for preaching Bible truth. Preaching Bible truth. Let me tell you something, folks. This preacher right here, if you ever come to me, you say, "Preacher, I ain't heard you preach on hell lately or mention hell lately." And I say, "Well, I'm not going to preach on hell." You know what you need to do? Put a bag over my head tight and take me out to the dump. Because let me tell you something, folks. May I say to you that hell is real. It is a real place. And it will continually be mentioned here in the right fashion. And not in a derogatory manner. You see, Trinity Baptist Church is respected for preaching the truth. May I say to you, it is also respected for staying true to the Bible. You know what? When I came here 27 years ago, nearly, you know what they preached from the pulpit here? King James Bible. You know, 10 years went by, and you know, I came on staff, and you know what the preacher preached out of? The King James Bible. Man, here it is 27 years later, and may I say to you, you know what we're preaching out of? The King James Bible. You see, Trinity Baptist Church is respected for staying true to the Bible and its principles. Now, let me wrap this up and say a few things quickly. Trinity Baptist can remain growing if we'll do some things, church. First of all, stay burdened. Stay burdened for people. Stay burdened for souls. This morning, as Brother Tim Ingram was singing, I was sitting back here, and as he was singing, I began to think about somebody God brought to my mind. It's way out of the will of God. I'm talking about way out of the will of God. And my eyes began to swell up with tears as I began to think about that person and listen in connection with that song. You see, church, we've got to stay burdened for souls. You say, "Oh, preacher, I want a burden. Where can I get a burden? How about go knock some doors? How about walk in the footsteps of some of our bus workers? Come up here on Saturday. I'll hook you up with one of them. Go walk the streets. Go see where some of the homes that some of these young people come out of. Some of them have never had anybody tell them that they love them." I was out knocking doors last Saturday. I knocked on a door and a young man came to the door. His name was Jose. And I began to witness to him. And he said, "Whoa, whoa, time out, preacher." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You don't believe the Bible?" He said, "I don't know if I believe it or not." I said, "Have you ever read the Bible?" He said, "Never read it." He said, "Let me go a step further, preacher." He said, "I've never been in a church." And I had to go, "This is Arlington, Texas, isn't it? Born in Texas, never been to church, ever, 20-some-odd years old." As I began to try to witness to him, hey, listen, he didn't have the foggiest idea what I was talking about. He said, "The only thing I've heard about Jesus, I've heard of him. I know nothing about him." So I went by again yesterday. I told him, I said, "Well, Jose," I said, "let me tell you something. Can I give you just a nugget to chew on for a week?" And I said, "I'll be back next Saturday." He said, "That's fine." And I gave him a nugget of truth. I said, "I want you to chew." And I went by yesterday, sat down in his home with his family. And I asked him before I left, I said, "Did you chew on that nugget I gave you last week?" He said, "Sure did." I said, "You want another one?" He said, "Sure do." See, the thing about it is, you just have to give him just a little nugget of truth. Hey, he don't know anything about the book. So I just had to give him something that provoked his thinking. I had to give him something to think about. I'm just telling you, church, we got to stay burdened. May I say number two, stay humble. We've got to stay humble. Hey, you see all this right around here? This ain't yours. This ain't mine. This belongs to God Almighty. And you know what he's going to get to do with his property one day? He's going to burn it all up. And he gets to choose to do it. But this is not ours. May I say to you, mamas and daddies, when the kids run up and down the pews or stick gum under there, they're not running up on Trinity Baptist Church. They're running on God's pews. Would you let them stand on your couch at home with dirty shoes on? So, no, they'd get a spanking. And what are they doing walking on the pews at church then? What are they doing throwing candy sticks on the carpet? What are they even doing with suckers in the church? This is a house of God. You think the president, think they'd let you in the White House while you're going there chewing gum? Just take and go. The guy's going, hey, buddy, pick that up. Nah. Just open another one. Go sit down in a chair. Said, man, this chair is pretty comfortable. I said, yeah. George Washington. Oh, George Washington sat in this chair. You know what? You wouldn't be in there no time. But isn't it amazing? We don't think anything about coming to church and doing something to God's property or taking something out of God's church that doesn't belong to us. Oh, boy, let's move on. We got to stay humble. May I say to you, number three, we got to stay praying. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know, we do have prayer meeting on Sunday at 6:20. Most of the revivals that were started, the great revivals that were started, not just in Europe, but in America, you know where they began? In prayer. The prayers of an individual or a group of individuals. You know how Trinity Baptist Church is going to grow? You know how Trinity Baptist Church is going to continue going in the direction that we're going? Prayer by the people of God. You need to be there. 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings, gentlemen, we meet for prayer over in the second two-story educational building. If you can be there, be there. May I say to you next, not only should we be stay burdened, stay humble, stay praying, we need to stay separated from the world. Now, folks, when you start talking about separation these days and separating from the world, people get all bent out of shape. But may I say to you, it's in the Bible. It's right there. You say, you think we made this up? No, you know why? You know why we live and preach what we preach about modesty? It's because it's in the Bible. We're to be separate from the world. What testimony are we telling? What testimony are we giving for Jesus Christ? We need to stay separated from the world in every area. And then may I say, lastly, Trinity Baptist Church, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to stay right with God. We're going to have to love what He loves. Our interests are going to have to be in what He's interested in. We're going to have to stay right with God. Now, I don't mean just as a church collectively. I'm talking about as an individual. We're going to have to stay right with God. Now, I'm just here to tell you tonight, the foundation was poured. The foundation was set. You know what the people did? Shouted. You know what I'm doing tonight? 39 years of Trinity Baptist Church. I'm shouting because if Trinity Baptist Church didn't exist, I may not be here. So you say, preacher, does this church mean something to you? Yes, it means something to me. May I ask you, if you were drowning out in a lake and somebody saved you, and they threw you a life preserver and pulled you in and said, man, what are you doing? I was drowning. I thought I was going to die. I knew I was going to drown. And they pulled you in. Wouldn't you kind of feel a little gratitude that they found you and saved you from drowning? Can I tell you, those two men, one of them's in heaven, They came by. I understand what I'm saying, folks. But literally, they saved me. They saved me from dying and going to hell. We got to stay right with God. Because I found out in Scripture, the people that were right with God got used most by God. That's the reason we got to stay right. We got to stay loving souls. We got to keep our interest and our compassion going in the right direction. You know what we need to do, folks? We need to be shouting. Don't take your church for granted. You see, look around this building here. A lot of sacrifice has gone in so that we could have what we have today. Don't take it for granted. The foundation is sure. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many could say, preacher, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I've been born again. Slip your hand way up high and say, I'm saved. Know it. No question about it. If Jesus came back tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. All right, you can put your hand.